KMVP FM, Phoenix, ArizonaSports.com, the Arizona Sports app, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock. On this Thursday afternoon, good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo! Burnsy, what's going on?
Delayed reaction there.
I was a little, couple minutes late getting in.
We celebrated Jordan Bird's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Jordan.
On behalf of everybody at 3010 Weight Loss for Life, I want to thank you for bringing in a nothing bunt cake to celebrate aforementioned birthday.
I know. Those cakes are ridiculous.
It's like the close.
It's hard to explain how good that damn cake is.
It's like, what was that old potato chip ad? Bet you can't eat one. That's what it's like with those like pieces of cake. Like, it's hard just to eat one piece of that cake and not go in for seconds or thirds or fourths.
So I mean, I don't do drugs. I've never been addicted to drugs. But me and that cake, I think that's like the closest thing I will feel personally to having like an addiction to a drug.
You know, the one that I go in and I bought the cake from, they used to have samples. And they do, but now they keep the samples behind the counter because people would just come in and eat samples.
Sure.
They'll give you the samples if you buy the cake.
You got to buy the cake first, and then they're like, would you like a sample of this? Would you like a sample? The last time I bought one, that's what they did to me.
Would you like a sample of the one you just bought?
Yeah.
Okay.
I cut off a slice of that piece of cake, and I'm like, that's not going to do. I'm going to need to have a little bit more of that. So thank you for having a birthday. And
only the best cakes for you there, Jordan.
3010 Weight Loss for Life is not happy that you had a birthday.
I'm glad that's the reason that I had a birthday, so that Dave Burns could eat some cake.
Hey, you know what? Whatever. As Gambo and I were just talking about, hey, whatever it is, it makes you happy. You know? I mean, for Gambo, it's the chair that he sits in every day. For me, it's a big old slice of nothing bun cake.
Actually, we have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 7 chairs in here. I've got my name on one of them.
Yes.
I actually wrote my name on it.
Yes.
So now I know which one is mine.
So Gambo comes walking into the studio every day. That's the first thing he does. Where's my chair? Gotta find my chair.
I don't know. This one's different. I like it.
Yeah. Whatever makes you happy, you know, be happy. It's okay for you to strive for your happiness. That's all
right. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It's time to weigh in on the biggest story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in, brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
Phoenix Suns back in action tonight against the Atlanta Hawks.
Wait, who are they playing tonight?
Oh, we're doing this right off the top, huh? They're playing the Atlanta Hawks tonight.
And what does that mean for the Atlanta Hawks?
Bad news for the Hawks!
Bad news for the Hawks!
Right out of the chute. It's not even. It's 2:03. In 4 seconds. And we're playing that card. I like it. Good.
Why not? Yeah, we waited until like 5:30 the last time.
Yeah, I like it.
We got in early this time, me and Jordan.
I like the aggression right there. Hawks come in here 4-6 on the season.
I just hurt my head saying that.
You probably did. Trae Young lit up the Denver Nuggets the last time out. 42 points, 11 assists. He hit 8 three-pointers. He had 17 of his points in the fourth quarter. He's 7th in the NBA in points per game. He's 4th in the NBA an assist per game. This Hawks team is without Herter, their backcourt mate, Trae Young's backcourt mate. He's got an injury. He's not going to play. He's already been sent home to Atlanta with a shoulder injury.
And Collins is suspended for 25 games.
And this game also features a matchup of two of the teams that have had a player suspended for using performance-enhancing drugs.
John Collins is out 25 games for the Hawks. You got DeAndre Ayton out for the Phoenix Suns. But you got Trae Young, who just lit it up the other night. I mean, just fantastic with 42 points and 11 assists for the Denver Nuggets, to beat the Denver Nuggets. And you've got your old friend Alex Len coming to town. Remember him?
You weren't speaking to me.
No,
were
just
you? Okay. You're just speaking in general.
Anybody's old friend Alex Len out of Maryland, that 5th overall pick in the draft.
17 points and 7 rebounds the other night against the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, listen, he's serviceable. That's the difference, right? Like, he's a serviceable guy. He's never going to live up to the hype of the 5th overall pick, but he can play in this league for a while. He's a big man. He moves his feet. He's okay. Like, he's okay. He just, you know, when he was picked 5th overall, you were hoping that you would have the center that they never had. This guy, but he wasn't that guy. He just wasn't the guy you thought he would be. He'll play a while in this league.
I mean, he's not bad. He's a serviceable big man. Serviceable. Okay, those guys will play in the league for a long time. So it's not like he's in no threat of being out of the league the way a Josh Jackson or a Dragan Bender or a Marquise Chris is, because he's got size and he's got some skills. He's just never going to live up to the fifth overall pick height.
No, and something else he has, and give him credit for this, he's got a work ethic, right?
Yes.
Which I don't think you could say about Josh Jackson. Maybe it's questionable whether you could say that about Marquise Chris, Dragan Bender. The jury's still out.
Well, you remember the debate with him. What are they having him? Every year. What are they having this guy? His foot was always hurt, right?
Yeah.
Foot was always hurt. Like, he's okay. Do you keep him? Do you not? Like, after a while, I was like, okay, listen, if we're still asking this question after 4 years, they got to let him go.
Now, after that Nuggets win on Tuesday for the Hawks, Alex Len, again, 17.7 rebounds, talked about how he had worked a lot on his shot this summer.
You know, I was just, you know, still trying to find my rhythm. I kind of had a bad start to the season. Just going into the game, it was like, you know, you got to play as hard as you can. Trying to, you know, the shots, I know I put a lot of work in the summer. The shots are going to eventually fall in. So I'm glad, you know, I had a good game. Got Monkey off my back. So now I'm ready to roll.
Alex Len, and this was a really good article that you found today talking about this, inspired by Aaron Baines to be a better player.
Yeah, I talked to the Celtics when the trade went down. And one of the things about Baines was he was never a three-point shooter until last year. I mean, it's fascinating. I mean, Baines, in the playoffs last year, so go back to last year when he was with the Boston Celtics. Baines attempted 21 three-pointers in the entire regular season. 21 three-pointers. I mean, that's like one every four games. He was not a three-point shooter. And I asked the Celtics about this, like, what happened? And he said, just working and working and working. The playoffs last year, Aaron Baines made 11 out of 23 three-point attempts. 11 out of 23 in the playoffs. And the Celtics trusted him to take those shots. And he had an impact on one player in particularly, and that was Alex Len.
Quote, he hadn't shot a three in his whole career, and he made like 10 in the playoffs, Len said with a laugh. So I was like, man, if he can shoot it, I can too. So he stayed in the gym, put up shot after shot. Len has made 6 of 25 three-point attempts in his career. He also said Phoenix, his previous team, didn't want him shooting the three-point shot.
Nope.
Len's offense was based on setting screens and rolling to the rim, but watching Baines in the playoffs was the spark he needed to transform his game. Goes on to say that when he was with the Suns, he learned how to run around and set good screens and work on his rebounding. Quote, that's really it, close quote.
Yeah, did not blame the coaches for his lack of development, because he knew the front office put a lot of pressure on the staff to win immediately. So the coaches in Phoenix, their plan for Len was trying to expand his game, but he felt like there wasn't any emphasis on player development because they wanted to win. So he had the role of a traditional big man, which didn't suit him as well as he would have liked. And he said, I would have been way ahead of where I am right now. Like, that's not even crazy to say. It feels like with the 2 years that I've been in Atlanta, I'm already so much better. Just looking at where I was last summer or now, it's crazy how much better I've gotten. So he really looks at his time in Phoenix and kind of basically says, look, they didn't develop me. They didn't develop me.
Is that not, in essence, what Draymond Green said about the Suns with Marquise Chris? I mean, isn't it?
But ultimately, you're responsible.
Basically the same argument, right?
Yeah, ultimately, you're responsible. But, you know, that's what he says. He goes, I'm able to do stuff that I've never been able to do in my career. I'm doing ball handling drills. I'm getting shots up. I'm just a better, well-rounded player with things I never had the chance to do. I was never asked to do the things I'm doing now when I was in Phoenix. So that's Alex Len talking about this 5 years in Phoenix, and they didn't develop him. He never got to do these things. I'm so much better now. I'm looking forward to watching him today. How much better is Alex Len as a basketball player? Not that you're going to have, like, you know, buyer's remorse or anything, but,
no.
You know, it was a wasted draft pick. It was a wasted draft pick. He was, because he never made the second contract, and it was a waste.
Yeah, you know what I look forward to? I look forward to the day when
former players no longer hold the Suns even casually responsible for their lack of development when they were here.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't
because
it?
Because I mean, look, and we talked about this a lot when Draymond Green said what he said about Marquese Chriss. There was blame to go all around for Marquese Chriss. Some of it was on him, some of it was on them, and there's no doubt that the organizational dysfunction had a part, played a role in the lack of development of Marquese Chriss. Now, at the end of the day, he's responsible. Here's Alex Len saying, look, every summer they asked me to work on this element of my game, and I did. And every time the season rolled around, then they would tell me they didn't want me using it. You know, so here he is following the coaching he's getting, doing the instructions he's being given. But then as soon as the season starts, there's this pressure to win now. They don't want Len using those games to try to develop a part of his game that's underdeveloped. So he doesn't do any of that stuff. It's that five-year period here with the Suns was so dysfunctional. And I don't know how much better Len would have turned out, right, if he had developed on his timetable and had done truly what the coaches wanted him to do. I don't know how much better Marquese Chriss would have been if there were better coaching here or a better infrastructure here, but I am tired, getting really tired of hearing, I think, somewhat justified criticism of the way things used to be around here, because players come out of here and say, man, I'm just so much better now that I'm somewhere else. I'm getting better coaching. I'm getting better instruction. I'm getting better this. I'm getting better that.
I mean, they are.
I'm tired of hearing that.
Yeah.
I hope those days are done.
I mean, it's almost, this is what it's going from. I want out, I want out, I want out to, wow, I didn't get developed there, I didn't get developed there, I didn't get developed there. Nobody coached me, nobody made me a better player. I mean, that's what it is. It's, we went from guys, you know, pining to get out of here and doing whatever it took to get out of town to now guys, younger players are like, I'm happier somewhere else because now these young players that are with Monty right now, whether it's DeAndre, Mikal, Ty Jerome, all of these, the younger players that are on this roster, Cam Johnson, they're being coached. They're being developed. They'll never say that. They're being coached the right way. They're being developed the right way. So you're not going to get that from the young coaches. But we are hearing from a bunch of former players that, you know, I played here in previous years that are sitting there and saying, man, it's night and day compared to where I was in Phoenix.
We are 10 games into the Phoenix Suns season as they get ready to take on the Atlanta Hawks tonight. So playoff hopes, are we buying? Are we selling, or are we doing neither at this point? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, Ryan Russillo, NBA insider on The Ringer, formerly of ESPN. I said, look, for once, this is a legit roster the Phoenix Suns have.
I remember when we were doing our previews for The Ringer, you know, we did our all-30 team over-under. So, you know, I spent a couple days going through every roster, and you start going back and looking at the depth charts, and I'm like, you know what? Phoenix actually has like 7 or 8 guys that would all play on good teams, and it feels like they actually have all the positions covered, even though we're in positionless basketball, you know? And it's like, hey, they have an adult at point guard, and they have Baines, you know, whose depth has been insane for you guys. I think it was just the first time in 3 years where you looked at the roster and go, okay, I think I know what this team is supposed to be. But, like, you should feel good that there's actually some real stability with this roster and coaching staff for the first time in what feels like forever.
And we do all feel good
sure.
about it.
Everything you said is exactly the way we feel.
Yep.
Exactly. I mean, it's nothing different.
We're all very excited about it. That being said, on ProBasketballTalk.com today, NBA insider Tom Haberstroh, and he's been writing about
forever,
the NBA for a long time, right? Let's buy or sell. Let's highlight 5 trends that I'm buying or selling at this stage of the season. The Phoenix Suns are a playoff team. He says, sell.
Listen, I'm not against that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's 6-4. We're 10 games in. I mean, if they go 6-4 in the next 10 games, and then they're 12-8. I mean, you got to start thinking about it. I think it's way too early to say that this is a playoff team. I think that they can compete for a playoff spot. I do think that they can compete for one. But man, I want to pull that trigger. They're a playoff team. This team's going to get the 8 seed. They're going to get the 7 seed. But, you know, I mean, I just don't know. It's just, man, you know the West is tough. You know it's tough. Even with Golden State down, it's still tough. You know, this will be a big game tonight. I believe in this team. Do I believe in them enough to say now that they would make the playoffs? I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I may get there. But I'm not there right now.
It's an interesting distinction. And for some people, it'd probably be a distinction without a difference. But I understand the distinction you're going for. Am I willing to say the Suns are capable of competing for
today.
A playoff spot? Yes. I'm willing to say they're capable of competing. Am I willing to say today, on November 14th, I know for a fact the Phoenix Suns will be in the playoffs? God, no.
I had a player ask me the other day, he goes, how long can Aaron Baines keep this up? I said, well, you know, seriously, like, how long can he keep this up for? How long is this guy going to knock down four out of every 6 3-pointers he takes and be, I mean, is this who he is?
We were talking about him in the last segment, so I looked up his numbers because if you missed it in the last segment, we were talking about Alex Len and how he credits Aaron Baines for inspiring him to take more 3-point shots, to work on his 3-point game because of what it did for Aaron Baines' game. Aaron Baines last year for the season, made 21 3-pointers. He's already made 22 this year.
Right.
He's already at his career high of made 3-pointers.
Right. He started flirting with that 3-pointer late in the season. Practices. Was just really, really using it. And then in the playoffs, he broke it out. He had never shot the 3 before. He didn't. But he broke it out. And, you know, listen, the Celtics didn't want to trade him. They loved him. He was the coach's favorite player. Brad Stevens was a favorite player.
What's interesting?
Because they needed the max cap space so they could go get Kemba. And they had to get rid of somebody. And him being 32 years old, it made sense to get rid of him rather than one of the younger players.
What's interesting, though, is to read Haberstroh's reasoning why he's selling the Suns as a playoff team. It's almost the opposite of what we're saying. Let me read this to you.
Yeah.
So
why am I selling?
He writes, this feels like a best case scenario to start the season. Booker and Baines aren't going to make half their threes all season. And here's the kicker. And while I think Ayton coming back will actually hurt them, while his 25-game suspension looks bad from an optics standpoint, I think it actually helps the team win in the short term with Baines filling his minutes.
Listen, I've said the exact same thing. And it's not that DeAndre Ayton's not going to be a better player than Aaron Baines, because the feeling is that he will be. But Baines is a winning player, and there's a difference, and I want to make sure I make this clear. Baines is a winning basketball player. DeAndre Ayton's he's in his second year. He's not winning anything, okay? Didn't even win in the first round of the NCAA tournament with the University of Arizona. They lost to Buffalo.
Oh, boy.
Aaron,
some of our U of A basketball fans just stopped following you on Twitter saying that.
I could use some people to not follow me on Twitter. Plus, trust me, deleting it the day I retire. Aaron Baines, 55 win, playoff team, Celtics, starting minutes, 25 minutes a game, important minutes. Aaron Baines is, and it's not even close, he's a much more winning basketball player than DeAndre Ayton is. He knows all of the little things to do to help a team win. That doesn't mean he's got more talent.
Right.
It just means that he's a better winning player. He can do things to help your team win more than DeAndre Ayton can right now. Doesn't mean that DeAndre isn't more talented.
Yeah. It's funny. That's almost exactly what he wrote. Baines does the little things that don't show up in the box score. He pancakes opponents on screens. He ranks fifth in box outs. He's second in charges taken, all while playing just about 24 minutes per game. Ayton, meanwhile, was among the least impactful rim protectors in the league last season. And that's saying something given his size and his athleticism. He just has not shown that regular commitment to doing either the little things or the big things, frankly, defensively, even though he did have 4 blocks in the opener before he was suspended for the 25 games.
How many bigs did the Lakers have?
Shoot me to count, half dozen.
Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis. They were intimidated by Aaron Baines. Oh, and I'm not making this up. I talked to players. I was in that locker room. I was talking to the players and coach. They were intimidated. Baines intimidated them. They were intimidated by Baines. Because his fouls are hard. He's physical. Hard fouls. I said, why were you guys intimidated by Baines? You have 4 guys that are 7 feet tall. Because his fouls are hard. He intimidates guys.
And his screens are like running into a brick wall.
It is.
And he
is an intimidating player.
And DeAndre Ayton's nowhere near that yet.
No.
And I do think when he comes back, there is a little bit of a step back. There is a big adjustment period for DeAndre Ayton. And I hope that Aaron Baines has, just like Aaron Baines has inspired Alex Len to be a better, more productive basketball player, mm-hmm. I hope Aaron Baines has inspired DeAndre Ayton to be a better, more impactful. And DeAndre Ayton had a good rookie year last year. In many metrics, a historic rookie year last year. But we all know, we all watch those games, he can be better. There are things he can do better.
I don't need to wait till the end of the season. I want Baines back next year as the backup center. I want him back. Pay him. I don't know what it's going to cost. Pay him. He's 32. It's not going to cost a lot.
Going Teddy KGB on me?
I mean, pay the man his money.
Pay that man his money.
I don't know. He's not going to... Like, I think Sarge is going to want $15 million a year. I don't think Baines is going to be anywhere close to that. I want Baines as the backup center. Like, I don't need the end of the season. I don't need any more games. They should try to bring Aaron Baines back next year. And this is where the tough decisions come in. What do you do with Sarge? What do you do with Baines? You know, Baines may want to go somewhere else, and maybe as a team it says, hey, look, I'm one center away from winning. I'll pay you $15 million for 1 year. And then you're like, okay, I'm out of it. But I would like to see this guy back because he's a good basketball player.
He is still holding on to the top spot, technically, logistically, on the Cardinals depth chart. How much longer is David Johnson going to stay in the top spot on the Cardinals depth chart is something we'll talk about next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sandy Charles is in for Sarah Cazell today with today's Twitter poll question of the day. She's Charles in charge. She also enjoyed. Have you had the nothing but cake yet? Or it's standing, but you better eat that quick. I don't know how much longer that's going to last sitting in there.
It's so good. I had to have my smoothie first, so this is next.
Good stuff. What's today's poll question, Sandy?
Are you buying or selling that the Suns are a playoff team this season? And your options, yes, I'm buying, no selling, too soon to tell.
Contending for a playoff spot, buying, too soon to tell. But guaranteeing a playoff spot, too soon to tell. Yeah. So I'm going to vote too soon to tell.
Okay, 51% say yes, they're buying. 40% say too soon to tell. And 8%, nope.
I want a little bit more of a sample size of them proving it to me. Did they prove it over 10 games? Yeah. Prove it over 15, 20. We don't need more than 20. We may not need more than 15.
To declare themselves a playoff team
give you an opinion one way or another. Like, I really, right now, I don't know. I don't know if that, I'm not sure. But for a concrete answer, I'll need a few more games.
All right. In the meantime, we turn our attention to the Arizona Cardinals back on the practice field today. And you can vote for that Twitter poll question on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo.
Back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again, getting ready for their second matchup in 3 weeks against the San Francisco 49ers. First time ever Cliff Kingsbury will face a team for a second time. So, you know, they've run same plays. Did they save some? Did they, you know, how will they approach that? And of course, on paper, and this is just on paper, the official depth chart of the Arizona Cardinals still lists David Johnson as the starting running back. Anybody who watched the game last week against Tampa Bay knows that that piece of paper is just that, a piece of paper. David Johnson didn't play after his fumble. The organization went out, gave up a draft pick for Kenyon Drake a couple of weeks ago, partly out of the need, you know, with everybody injured. But I think the more this season wears on now, we're starting to see it was more than just we've got a bunch of guys hurt and we need a body right now. I think looking at the Kenyon Drake situation, you can look at it and say, did they acquire him because they have serious doubts about David Johnson's ability to be a productive running back and they wanted to get somebody who they don't have those doubts about anymore?
No question. I mean, I at the time, I think it was more of, man, they're really down running backs. Remember, they had brought in two running backs they had brought in, but they weren't Kenyon Drake type of
running backs. It was Alfred Morris and Zach Zenner.
Yeah, two guys. They brought in two bodies because they were down. And then it was, you know, Chase got hurt. It was like Drake was a guy that you felt like he could be an every down back. You could play him every down. Zenner and Morris were they're here just in case, break glass emergency type of thing. But when Drake was available and the price wasn't that high, and then the feeling was, well, if he plays well and we'll still get a compensatory pick for him.
Mm-hmm.
If he plays well and does well, we'll get a compensatory pick for him. If he doesn't play well, it's a sixth round pick. So what? So it was really you couldn't lose. Like, they couldn't lose on that. He plays well, you get a compensatory pick if he leaves, or maybe you decide you're going to keep him. He doesn't play well, you gave up a sixth-round pick, but at least you got insurance and you got to use another body for the last nine games.
Yeah, this is Cliff Kingsbury on Monday on the Bickley and Murata show. Is David Johnson going to continue to get carries?
As long as Chase is out, David will still continue to get opportunities?
Yeah, David will continue to play, and we're getting Kenyon caught up to speed on our offense and going to continue to get him a bunch of touches. And then it'd be great to have Chase back because he was playing at a very high level when he was healthy.
But how much will David Johnson get the ball? How many carries? How many touches will
he see? I
heard
Bickley say, give him 20 carries and let's just see what happens. If the season's over, maybe, but I don't, like, they need to win a football game. And I don't think he gives you the best chance to win a football game.
I got all the respect in the world for Dan Bickley. I would disagree with that as well.
Yeah, Bickley mentioned, just give him 20 carries and let's just, look, you're getting 20 carries. Make something happen.
But what's more important, the Cardinals winning basically a meaningless game against San Francisco or actually finding out if David Johnson is truly, really broken?
He's 20 carries against the San Francisco
49ers. That might be too much.
Sure.
But to say that, to wait till the season's over, the season is over. The Cardinals aren't making the playoffs, so why not think towards the future and try to figure this out?
But why does it have to be 20 carries? I mean, haven't we seen in the last few games with 5 carries?
That's a high number. But I still think that, to say that they've completely moved on for David Johnson, considering the financial consequences, that's a broad statement to make.
How many games in a row have they lost now? 3?
Yeah.
They got to win a game.
Why?
Because they got to win a game. It's good.
Why? What for, though?
For the morale of the team, for the coaching staff, for the players to believe in the system and what they're doing. We've gone through this with the Suns for 5 years. They lost last year. They lost 13 games. They might lose 12 games this year. That takes a toll. Losing sucks. Go ask James Jones about how bad the losing hurt the Phoenix Suns organization. Let's lose. Tanking is terrible. Win some games. Now listen, you don't have to win. You don't have to win 8 or 9, but 3's not enough. They need to win a few more games this year. You want to end the season on a 3-3-1. You want to end the season on a 9-game losing streak? You think that's good for the team?
Look, David Johnson, and I understand where Jordan's going with this. I really do, okay? But David Johnson, I'm looking right now.
I'd yell at you more, but it's your birthday.
I've tuned you out. I'm busy working on something else.
You've muted me? Burns, you just muted a guy.
On Twitter, he muted
somebody.
2018, 2019, okay?
Yes.
So the last year and a half combined, David Johnson has 340 rushing attempts. He has averaged 3.6 or 3.7 yards per carry. What difference is 20 more carries going to do in determining what David Johnson is or is not capable of?
But that's the whole philosophy with everything. Why do you need one more game when a coach has been there for 5 years to determine if he should be there or not?
I don't disagree with that.
Do you need 20 more carries to determine what they... You see him in practice every day. You've seen him in games all the time. I'm not a believer in this philosophy of, if he wins this game, we'll keep the coach. And if he loses this game, we'll fire him. If you don't know by now, you're an idiot.
Right, and he's had 340 carries over the last 2 years for you to know exactly what you got.
Go look at the 340 carries and determine what it is.
I just don't think 20 carries. I understand there's not a ton to play for this season, but I think, circling back to our original point, that's why they got Kenyon Drake. It wasn't just because they were injured at the position. I think they were seeing these same things in practice. I think they were seeing these same things in film, and Steve Keim looked at it and said, I got to do better. I've got a guy who's just not going to get the job done over the next couple of years. Now, we'll see how many carries he ends up getting. I know you were listening to Bickley and Marotta earlier today and were intrigued by a point that Bickley brought up in particular.
He did. I had to call my wife and have her get us the info. But David Johnson, his wife, actually tweeted out something. I didn't know about this, but Bickley and Marotta brought it up, and I found it pretty fascinating. And I'm gonna get it for you right now. So it's a picture of, so the wife sent out a picture and it says, "Mess with my man, I dare ya. Hashtag Bonnie and Clyde." So listen, it's the words, if you're a professional, the word gets around. You can't be oblivious to it, right? He can't be oblivious to the fact that he's being called out by a lot of different people for the fact that he's not playing very well. And his wife is probably hearing it, and she's sticking up for her man the way she should. I don't know if I like the Bonnie and Clyde angle, but...
ready, B? Let's go again.
Attaboy, Jordan. Do you want to read the Urban Dictionary definition of Bonnie and Clyde? Because a listener sent it to us.
Is that the real one? Is that real?
Yeah. The Urban Dictionary definition?
All right. Are you sure this is real?
Well, I can look it up on the website, but I'm pretty sure that's real. Yeah. Jordan's cracking me up with this.
Somebody sent this to me. I haven't looked it up. Is this... You look it up and you tell me it's real. I'll read it just to appease these people. Because I read something on Urban Dictionary yesterday about dapping. And I guess it got played out today by people.
Oh, you mean this is right?
Dap me up, the Urban Dictionary.
Oh, you look at me.
What the hell, yeah. An unspoken greeting performed or done by fist bumping, tapping, or hitting. Usually only by tapping light.
Yeah. Daps yes. me up.
Sometimes a person is aggressive and hits the other fist hard. It's usually only spoken if the other person is unaware or if a person confronts the other about not doing it or being left hanging with a fist in the air. Yeah, so that's what it is. Fist bumping, tapping, or hitting.
I
was looking out for you, bro. Dapped. That's right, bro. You better dap me up.
Well, I looked up Bonnie and Clyde on
that
Urban
on
Dictionary.
There?
Now, it's not the one that you got sent, so we probably... But we all know what she's talking about. Look, I mean, I know that has been a narrative here, you know, that she is somehow to blame for this, that she's trying to make him less of a football player. I don't subscribe to any of that. I think it's a good thing that she stood up for him on Twitter. I think that's what a good partner should do.
Course.
I think that's what a good spouse should do.
Now listen,
he is. I said this yesterday. I said this yesterday, the day before. Make no mistake. David Johnson's under attack. Okay, and not just by us, and not just by Bickley and Murata, and not by Doug and Wolf, by Cardinal fans everywhere. David Johnson is under attack.
Not just Cardinal fans.
Right?
By fantasy football fans everywhere, by people that cover this game. I mean, we have four TVs in here. One yesterday was like, David Johnson had zero fantasy football points last week. Like, that was the headline. David Johnson, don't play him. Like, they had this, like, player don't play, or David Johnson had 0 points, don't play him. Yeah, he's under attack because he's not, listen, he's supposed to be a great player. We're talking about him as a one-hit wonder. We're playing Come On, Eileen by the Dexys Midnight Runners. David Johnson is under attack. There's no question about it. Now, we're not attacking him as a person. We're attacking him as a player because as a player, he's not doing anything. We're not attacking him as a person. We're not attacking him as a man. We're not attacking him as a father. We're not attacking him as a husband. None of that stuff is what we're attacking. And that's where, like, you don't want it to get personal because I've been there. I've been there where people have attacked my wife over and over again. Like, right? My wife has been, and that's where Twitter can get really ugly and stuff. And most people will stick up for us. But there are some idiots out there that will, and that's what you don't want to do. Listen, I give his wife all the credit in the world for sticking up for him. And that's what she said. Mess with my man. I dare you, Bonnie and Clyde. She's together. I'm with you no matter what, through thick and thin, whether you play well or you play bad. But right now, David Johnson is playing poorly. And the criticism of him is him as a player, not as a person, not as a father, not as a husband, not as anything else outside of a running back for the Arizona Cardinals who is not playing very well.
Colin Kaepernick is going to get his crack at making it back to the NFL this weekend.
Fraud.
Is he really? But is the workout rigged against him? And will the Cardinals be there? We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The 03 Bonnie and Clyde, Hov and B, holla. And I quote, we are looking forward to Saturday's workout with Colin. 11 teams. Arizona, Atlanta, Cleveland, Denver, Detroit, Miami, New England, New York Giants, New York Jets, Tampa Bay, and Washington.
Why?
Have already committed to attend, and it's only Thursday. With 2 days remaining until the workout, we expect additional teams to commit. Former NFL head coach Hugh Jackson will lead the drills, and former NFL head coach Joe Philbin will be in attendance as well. We will send video of the workout and interview to all 32 teams, including head coaches and general managers.
Is this
release.
To avoid a lawsuit? Is this to just appease him and his people? I mean, why are they doing this?
I don't know.
Colin Kaepernick getting a go play in one of these leagues? They pop up every 3 months. Go play in a league.
Why is the NFL doing this for him?
I don't know.
Colin Kaepernick, from everything I understand, Colin Kaepernick was basically given 2 hours to accept or decline this invitation.
Right.
His agents, his people tried to get it rescheduled. Hey, can we schedule this Saturday 3 weeks from now to give teams more time to prepare for this? Can we do it on a Tuesday?
Why are they doing it? This guy's a fraud. Okay. Colin Kaepernick's a fraud. He's always been a fraud. You have a right to protest, okay? Everybody has a right to protest. I'm not going to take that. I don't agree with him taking a knee, but I don't think it was all about that. That's social justice and stuff. This is a guy walking around in a Fidel Castro shirt in the middle of Miami, supporting communism. This is a guy wearing socks that have police as pigs on it. This is a guy who donated money to a woman's cause who was a cop killer. I'm just, listen, I support the police I support the police everywhere, so I can't support Colin Kaepernick. That's me. I've always thought the guy's a fraud. Now, whether he's a good football player or not, that can be debatable. You could debate that, right? Is he good? He was a good football player at one time. Could he be good now at 32? He's been out of the league 3 years. I just don't think there's a place for Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. That's my opinion, okay? That's my opinion. You have a right to protest. So I don't agree with it, but you have the right to do that in this country. You have the right. I just think the guy's a fraud. I don't think his causes are just.
Okay.
And I don't believe in his causes.
But that doesn't answer the question, Gambo.
The question is, why is the
NFL doing this?
I don't know.
To
appease somebody.
We can debate Colin. Okay, I'm going to play this quote here.
To appease someone.
I'm going to play this cut from Damian Woody and Adam Schefter. They were on Get Up this morning.
I think that this is cover. Honestly, I think this is cover for teams that have genuine interest in Colin Kaepernick, but don't want to bring him in individually, okay? Because they would know the PR blowback if they brought Colin Kaepernick individually. I think by having this stage in this type of deal, that it allows these teams to say, you know what? We've all gotten to look at him, and we don't have to be singled out as an organization.
I raised that very point to a general manager last night who laughed at me and said, you think teams are spineless, don't you?
I don't know how you could sign a guy like that and have police officers in your building, you know, keeping people safe and have that guy on the football field. That's my opinion, okay? As a player and everything, there was many opportunities for Colin Kaepernick to play football somewhere he could have played football, decided not to, could have went and played football. Rick Neuheisel was on with Bickley and Murata, you know, talking about the league and talking about Steve Spurrier, and Kaepernick didn't play in that league. He's not scheduled. The XFL's coming up right now. It's not really like, do you, same thing with like Tim Tebow.
Right. Tim Tebow.
You didn't want to play football,
was
Tim
NFL
Tebow.
NFL or bust, right.
You did not want to play football. You know what? So that's on you. Tim Tebow did not want to play football because there were opportunities for Tim Tebow, if he wanted to play football, to go play football at a lower level to prove his worth.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick had that same opportunity, decided not to do it.
You and I are focused on two totally different things here, and I understand your perspective. I understand your point of view. I am much more intrigued by what the NFL is trying to do here. Is it because of what Damian Woody just said? Is it because teams don't have the guts to bring Colin Kaepernick traditionally on a Tuesday? The Cardinals said, I was reading Kent Summers' story today on AZ Central. Cardinals brought in 10 players for a workout on Tuesday. Every team brings in 10 players for a workout on Tuesday.
Right.
If you want to know what Colin Kaepernick looks like, you could bring in Colin Kaepernick on a Tuesday. I'm sure he'd be more than happy to come. Why this and not that? Why such short
question.
Notice? Why giving Colin Kaepernick 2 hours to say, are you in or are you out? Why the lack of flexibility from the league to work with him?
And
to
why
pick
are 11
a day
teams going? You're going to. I pity the team that signs the guy. You want to sign that
guy?
Well,
just because 11 teams are going doesn't mean anyone's going to sign him. I mean, just because you show up doesn't mean anyone's going to sign him, though.
But part of that is they're saying nobody wants to bring him on a Tuesday by themselves. That's what part of it's saying.
So do we think any less of the Arizona Cardinals that they're going? Do we think any less of the Arizona Cardinals that they're attending this workout? Because
Michael Bidwell's a former prosecutor. I can't speak for them. I'll speak for me. We're doing a 100 club event to support the firefighters and the police officers next month. I support our law enforcement. I don't want Colin Kaepernick in our town. I don't want him in our community. And I don't, because I support law enforcement. So to hell with Colin Kaepernick. I don't want him here. So I would be very, very upset if the Arizona Cardinals signed him. Very, very upset.
Are you upset that they're there?
I'm not
happy
about it.
Are you upset that they're going? Okay.
I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy
that they are confirmed attendance of this. This is coming straight from the NFL.
Right.
Confirmed. They'll be there.
This is a guy who has had public displays and donation. And this isn't a political thing. Public displays against the police departments, against police. Okay, social justice. Okay, listen, there should be social justice. I'm all for it. I'm all for social justice reform. I think we should have that. But to support someone who, you know, killed a police officer, or to wear socks with pigs on it, and I think he's a fraud. Now, why they're doing this, I don't know. I'd love to get an answer as to why him. What about all the other players that have been out of the league for 2 years and 3 years that are trying to get back in? You know how many players are trying to get back into this league that have been out for a few years?
Sure.
Why him? Why him and not the other 1,500 players that have been out of the league for two or three years that would love an opportunity to work out in front of 11 teams and prove that they can get back in the league? What about those guys?
That's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. Things so far have been a pleasant surprise for the Phoenix Suns this season. There is one area, though, that is still very much being tinkered with, and we'll tell you what it is coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.